Today is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, and the readings are found in Jeremiah chapter 28, verses 5 through 9, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 42. Today's message is titled, To Be Found Worthy. Hear the word of God from Jeremiah chapter 28, beginning at verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah, before the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. He said, Amen! May the Lord do so! May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house and all the exiles back to this place from Babylon. Nevertheless, listen to what I have to say in your hearing and the hearing of all the people. From early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if his prediction comes true. Here ends our lesson from Jeremiah. The Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 34th verse. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples as he sends them out. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his daughter, his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth. He will certainly not lose his reward. Here ends the gospel. Again, the sermon title is messaged, To Be Found Worthy. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, come and calm our hearts during these uncertain and turbulent times. Grant us confidence in your compassion and your unfailing love. Help our souls rest with reassurances of your sovereign hand sustaining us through these days. Grow in our hearts the understanding of the faith that following your ways are more important than life itself. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Christian life, yes, the Christian life is rooted in the nitty-gritty reality of life. The faith that sustains the heart of the Christian does not take one out of the world. Rather, the faith is of such a kind that this faith can confront the things of life in a manner that never lets go of hope, nor turns aside from a deep trust in God, even in the times that would break us. Break a heart with pain and break a heart with sorrow. At that same time, that broken heart can still proclaim, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. When you think of a person that would have had a perfect life with all things hunky-dory and fantastically wonderful, would you not think of a prophet of God as such a person? I mean, they're about the business of God. They're called of God to speak the word of God. Would not their lives be wonderfully sweet? Would not a prophet of God be cared for by God in such a manner that people would have no problem recognizing
That person's a prophet of God.
Let's put those images aside and set ourselves in reality and listen to a portion of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 36 through 38. Some, that is, prophets of God, some faced jeers and flogging, while others still were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. That's a prophet of God. That's what they experienced. The prophets of God faced jeers. They endured floggings. The prophets of God were put in chains in prison. Prophets of God stoned, sawed in two, killed by the sword. These are the prophets of God doing the work of God, speaking the word of God. These prophets were destitute, persecuted, mistreated, wearing sheepskins and goatskins. The prophets of God wandered in the desert and mountains and caves. Not an easy life, and definitely not what one would call a prosperous life. Not living in the lap of luxury, yet they were fulfilling God's call in their lives, speaking the word of God. Did you hear what was said about them? The world was not worthy of them. These mistreated people, treated like miscreants, the world was not worthy of them. Though the world mistreated them, the reality was these prophets were of such great worth, of an inestimable value, for they spoke the word of God. Their appearance and treatment would seem to say they're unworthy of living in this world. On the contrary, the world was not worthy of them. Would you like to be found worthy as these prophets of old? Jeremiah the prophet, he suffered. He suffered much. Jeremiah lived in the area of Jerusalem at the time of the siege and destruction by Babylon. The kings of Judah during his time were Josiah, Jehoaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. Jeremiah was rejected. The kings and the people, they would not listen. Jeremiah was beaten and persecuted for speaking the word of God. He was put in stocks. He had a death sentence given to him. He was thrown into a cistern that was muddy in the bottom, and he sunk in the mud, and he was just left there to die. These things happened to Jeremiah for preaching an unpopular message of repentance for the kings and people of Judah. All through those 50 years of his preaching repentance, there really was no measurable change in the kings or people of Judah. In our reading of Jeremiah chapter 28 this morning, Jeremiah is found wearing a yoke. It's a yoke God had instructed him to make and put on. Jeremiah chapter 27, verses 1 and 2. Early in the reign of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord said to me. Make a yoke out of straps and crossbars and put it on your neck. This yoke was a visible illustration before the people concerning what God was going to do. King Zedekiah needs to listen to Jeremiah. King Zedekiah needs to bow the neck before the yoke of the king of Babylon, along with all the people of Judah, and they would live. Now, false prophets, they were giving a different message. Listen to the false prophets, and the Lord declares the king and all the people would be banished, and they would perish. Jeremiah declares not to listen to the false prophets. Go ahead, serve the king of Babylon, and you will live, or this city will come to ruin. The false prophet Hananiah said the Lord will break the yoke of Babylon. As a sign of breaking the yoke of Babylon, Hananiah took off Jeremiah's yoke and broke it. Oh, how Jeremiah wanted those words of Hananiah to be true. That the articles of the temple worship would be returned to the Lord's house. That the exiles would be returned. Jeremiah wanted these things to happen, but he knew they would not happen. The false prophets were prophesying peace and prosperity. The word of the Lord through Jeremiah was that there would be no peace. Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 9.
But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized only as one only truly sent by the Lord, only if his prediction comes true. Hananiah's prediction did not come true. As a matter of fact, within 2 months, Hananiah would die, just as the word of the Lord said through Jeremiah. And so we got hard teachings here, like Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And thus begins a section in the Gospel of Matthew that falls into this category of difficult teachings of Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He will bring peace, right? Here, Jesus clearly says he's not bringing peace. He's bringing a sword. Jesus says that families will be split, man against father, daughter against mother, one's own household. The member of one's own family will be enemies. How can this be? As Jesus is the Son of God. When will this happen? Why will this happen? I bring you to Hebrews chapter 4. And consider this verse in Hebrews chapter 4 for your understanding. Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. A dividing comes when Christ comes. What are the thoughts in the heart? What are the attitudes of the heart? Is God's word first in the heart? Is Christ, the Son of God, first in thoughts in the heart? What happens when one person in the family fully surrenders to Christ and the rest of the family doesn't? Will there be peace in that family? No, a dividing will happen. Following Christ, they will depart ways from those who are following the ways of this world. It is a battle between good and evil, the battle between those who have surrendered their lives to follow Christ and those who refuse and follow the ways of this world and the evil one of this world. As such, what would a prophet like Jeremiah sound like today? Would such a Jeremiah be speaking about what is taking place in the streets of this land? Would this Jeremiah say, if lives really mattered, why not the protests take over Chicago, where this last weekend, Father's Day weekend, 104 were shot. Yes, 104 people were shot, with 15 killed, murdered. 5 of those 15 were minor children. In the month of May alone, in Chicago, there are 409 people shot, with 85 murdered in that month of May alone. From January to May 2020, there has been 1,127 shootings, with 245 murders in Chicago. Where's the outcry over these lives? Where's the headlines decrying this? You find utter silence. No, let's tear down the statue of Lincoln, the Emancipation Memorial, also known as Freedmen's Memorial in Lincoln Park. Freed slaves gave the funds to build the memorial to honor Lincoln. These former slaves were the only source of the funds to build this memorial to honor Lincoln. On April 14th, 1876, that was the date set for dedication of this memorial, with President Ulysses S. Grant in attendance. That date, April 14th, was specifically chosen for this dedication, Also note, it would be later that summer, the centennial of the United States would be celebrated. But April 14th, 1876, was the dedication of this memorial to Abraham Lincoln. And the speaker, the primate, the highlight, the keynote speaker, was an abolitionist, a statesman, a reformer, a writer who had escaped slavery in Maryland. The keynote speaker was none other than Frederick Douglass. Yes, the former slave who escaped slavery in Maryland, he was the keynote speaker. And this is how Frederick Douglass began. Friends and fellow citizens, I warmly congratulate you upon the highly interesting object which has caused you to assemble in such numbers and spirit as you have today. This occasion is in some respects remarkable. wise and thoughtful men of our race who shall come after us and study the lessons of our history in the United States, who shall survey the long and dreary spaces over which we have traveled, who shall count the links in the great chain of events by which we have reached our present position, will make a note of this occasion. They will think of it and speak of it with a sense of manly pride and complacency. And then he goes on, and this is how he concludes. Frederick Douglass concludes, "Fellow citizens, I end as I began, with congratulations. We have done a good work for our race today in doing honor to the memory of our friend and liberator. We have been doing highest honors to ourselves and those who come after us. We have been fastening ourselves to a name and a fame imperishable and immortal. We have also been defending ourselves from a blighting scandal. When now it shall be said that the colored man is soulless, that he has no appreciation of benefits or benefactors, when the foul reproach of ingratitude is hurled at us and is attempted to scourge us beyond the range of human brotherhood, we may calmly point to the monument we have this day erected to the memory of Abraham Lincoln." Now, does Frederick Douglass sound like a man advocating the tearing down of a memorial to memory of Abraham Lincoln? A dedication, again, I said April 14th was chosen for a reason. A dedication that happened 11 years to the day after President Lincoln was assassinated. Frederick Douglass said in his dedication concerning President Lincoln's assassination, this is what he said: "While a great nation torn and rent by war was already beginning to rise to the skies loud anthems of joy at the dawn of peace, it was startled, amazed, and overwhelmed by the crowning crime of slavery, the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. It was a new crime, a pure act of malice. No purpose of rebellion was to be served by it. It was the simple gratification of a hell-black spirit of revenge. But it has done good after all. It has filled the country with a deeper abhorrence of slavery and a deeper love for the great liberator." There is a deep love for the great liberator, Abraham Lincoln. Would not tearing down this memorial broaden even more the crowning crime of slavery, which was the assassination of Abraham Lincoln? Those saying that these are peaceful protests are more akin to the false prophet Hananiah of old. Unfolding on the streets of this land is a battle between good and evil, a battle over the Judeo-Christian ethos, way of life that built Western civilization, that built the way of life in this land versus the godless ways of Marxism. Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 39. "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Do you love mom and dad more than Christ? Do you love your child more than Christ? Are you unwilling to take up the cross of Christ and follow? Again, these are hard teachings of Jesus, who is the Christ. Teachings we'd rather skip over, but there's great value to be learned from them. What truly is in your heart? Is Christ first in your life? Is Christ more important than mom and dad? More important than family? Is Christ more important than everything in your life? If not, why? What is getting in the way of picking up the cross, which means dying to self, to follow Christ? Is following Christ easy? No, not at all. Don't listen to those who say following Christ is easy. It's not easy. Surrendering to Christ, surrendering all to Christ, that's not easy. Dying to self for Christ, it doesn't come easy. The things of this world are very tempting, but we are called to die to selves. Called to put Christ first. Christ, who gave his life, surrendered his will for the Father's will, and took the cup that was given to him. Christ crucified, really nailed to the cross to die for us. When Christ Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow," Jesus knew there was a cross laying in front of him. It was there before him. The agonizing death of a cross was still before him. More than likely through his boyhood and childhood, growing into manhood, Jesus saw the reality of Roman capital punishment, with men carrying their crosses to their own places of execution and being nailed to the crosses. Jesus would have seen the agony on others' faces that one day would be his own agony. And more than that, Jesus would bear the weight of all the sin of all the world. Yet, through the agony of the cross to come would be the victory over death, and through the cross the redeeming price for all sin would be paid in full by his own precious blood as a sheer gift of grace. Grace that would bring the reward that can never be lost. Eternal life in heaven with God our Father, Christ our Savior, and the wonder of the Holy Spirit. It's not so much that we're being found worthy of grace. It's allowing this grace, rather it's allowing this grace to work its full in our lives. And that is to grace to change your life. This grace will change your heart. This grace will change your mind in all these things. Where before the self was most important, what I want, what I desire, it's all about me. Or family was most important, or your business, or sports. You can fill in the blank as to what is most important. Now, with that grace of Christ that's come in, Christ becomes most important of all things. The context of Matthew chapter 10 will help your understanding. Jesus is speaking to his disciples as he's sending them out to preach, to heal, and to teach. Nothing should get in their way. Nothing should hinder their message and their mission to spread the words of Jesus Christ. Sending out the disciples to acknowledge Jesus as the Christ. When those hardships come, and those hardships will come, they're not to turn aside. And not to stop proclaiming Christ. Let nothing interfere, not fathers, not mothers, not sisters, nor brothers, keep you from proclaiming Christ. You have come to know Christ is of such great value. Nothing in this life or of this world can be more important, of greater value, than knowing Christ. To be found worthy of Christ simply means you have placed Christ first in all things. And it's discernible in the way you live, and even more in the way you proclaim Christ to others. These days, what's happening in these lands and around the world, Christ needs to be proclaimed. The prophet Jeremiah suffered, and still Jeremiah fearlessly spoke the word of God. I invite you, encourage you, see through the false prophets of these days and their propaganda in the print, on the internet, and in the mainstream media. See them as what they are. They are Hananias, as of old. They are liars. They're not telling the truth. You be the Jeremiah of our day, called of God, and speak the truth. Speak the word of God while willingly suffering the consequences. Lose your life on account of Christ. And then you will find that life that is in Christ. That eternal life in Christ. Redeemed by his grace. That's what it means to be found worthy. Redeemed by his grace. So Christ is your all in all, and you have that life in Christ that only Christ can give. That is to be found worthy, and it's worth it. Amen and amen.